Okay. My mic's on, your mic's on.
Okay, good morning.
And this is a meeting of June 26th, and it's a little after 10. My apologies for running late. In attendance is myself, Matt Carlucci, who called the meeting to meet with District Councilmember Tyrona Clark Murray. And we also have in attendance of course, we have John Nooney in the back. Good to see you, John.
Good to see you all.
Yeah. And then we have council aides,
Jessica.
What's your last name?
Dixon.
Jessica Dixon.
Denson.
Okay. Your council aide. And then we have Amber, who's here on behalf of council.
What's your last name?
It's Lehman.
Amber Lehman.
Amber Lehman. Thanks for catching me up on that. And really, the sole purpose for the meeting as we go into the coming year, I just want to learn about, you know, your district. I have some questions that I kind of prepared, but...
You're probably prepared with some answers.
But, you know, I want to say, first of all, I've really enjoyed working with you. We've had, I think... We built a good relationship, and obviously we'd like to continue that. But let's see. Really, what I want to know is, you know, kind of the priorities, you know, in your District 9. And I think I've got a map of District 9 attached, so...
The number one?
I thought so. I guess maybe...
It's shaped like a number one.
It's shaped like a number one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like a block letter number one.
Well,
I can tell you, and I know you know Jacksonville.
Is Grand Park in that area?
It is not. Not any longer.
It used to be.
No, and we cried together.
I bet.
Yeah, because they were really...
I've been to more town meetings in Grand Park than you can with Warren Jones. They're sweet people over there.
So the northernmost point in District 9 is Edgewood at about 20th Street, West 20th Street. And then it goes to the east, stopping at the viaduct that goes over Beaver Street to help you. And that's, you know, that includes Robinson's Addition and, of course, Woodstock. And then thinking once again, Edgewood at 20th Street as a kind of a starting point. It goes to the west to 295 and then slightly beyond 295 to pick up that's headed towards Marietta, that area.
Okay.
Till it gets to 4 Acre and then that's where it stops. And it travels, just thinking west, along 4 Acre all the way to when 4 Acre becomes Old Middleburg to Ken Drive, Ken Road.
Okay.
And then thinking west, 103rd, going back to the east towards Blanding. And then, you know, 103rd becomes Timaquana on the other side of Blanding, all the way to the Ortega River Bridge, the bridge.
Wow.
And then start heading north.
John, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Council member. Did we close those doors?
Yes, sir.
Let's leave them open.
Yes, sir.
I like open doors.
Kind of north, northwesterly, up Blanding. So you got like Cedar Hills.
Well, you got quite a district.
Cedar Hills, Lakeshore, Normandy Boulevard. Moving upward towards back towards Cassett, and where Cassett becomes Edgewood again, back to Beaver
That's
Street
where the old
and Paxson.
Dixie headquarters used to be.
Exactly. And back towards Paxson. Yeah. And I'm sorry, I didn't mention Lackawanna. Lackawanna. In between. To the west of King Street and back to Beaver.
Okay. So you know, what are the things that you want to get done in your district? What's important to you? I mean, I'm at large, so I want to know so I can try to help you with that.
I don't know that everything is necessarily something that needs legislation, but my number one priority, and my number one priority has always been crime. Since taking office last year, I've worked with JSO Zone 5, and we've shut down drug trap houses. We've shut down 3-4 of them. I know that I have quite a few meth houses that are off of Ken Road. So I'm gonna start working with Assistant Chief Dingy at Zone 4 to get rid of those. I hope drug dealers don't go to COJ.net and pull up recordings so they won't know we're coming.
It'd be like a moving target. We're going over here now.
And sometimes it is like a game of whack-a-mole. It is. The ones that I know of one that we ran from Detroit Circle, and then they moved to West 15th Street. So sometimes it is a matter of that. But then sometimes JSO is able to go in and arrest everyone, and we know that they're incarcerated. They're able to obfuscate and move around. So that's my number one priority.
Why do you think they, is there something that could be done with, in that neighborhood with lighting or?
There are those environmental elements that help to deter crime. So there is lighting.
Is there better lighting needed in some of those?
It is. Mm-hmm. And in some, and on Ken Drive specifically, we have 1-2 mobile homes that have been burned to the ground, and they have had code enforcement stickers on them since November of last year. And you know, of course, it's a matter of due process before those trailers can actually be, the property can be abated.
Okay.
So about 2 weeks.
Will they eventually get removed?
That is hope, but once again, you know, it's a matter of the process. The property owner has to be given X amount of time to do this and that, and then, because you know, when the city does it, it's gonna be a charge eventually to that property owner.
Why did they burn down, do you know?
I don't know.
Do you suspect any kind of arson, or
it's okay. Yeah. Prior to, I went out in that area January of this year, and so it wasn't a part of my district, so it wasn't some place that I was familiar with prior to the redistricting.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I know in that area that's meth houses are prevalent. So those environmental factors will help.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, we're in contact with Public Works about the lighting, about some roads that aren't paved. So there are a myriad of things that play into that, but mainly it's a matter of going in and letting them know that we're aware that they're there.
Are they dirt roads?
Some roads are dirt roads.
Okay.
Yeah, that's...
Are they private?
See, I noticed how your voice got a little higher when I went back there, too. I was like, there's dirt roads back here? I'm like... What? And I talked to some neighbors, and they're, and when it rains, it's horrible for them to get to their homes.
Are they private roads?
That's what they said. And I said that, you know, some things like what can be done, because there are like several homes on the road. And so I don't know if there's something we can do regarding that. I think that would take legislation.
Yeah. When I was first on the council, I got calls from this area with Elm Beach Boulevard, I think. Right past the Alhambra Theater, okay? And there's a Sam's Perel and a few roads that are they're dirt roads.
Mm-hmm.
But they got, you know, housing back there, neighborhoods, and the people would complain because, you know, the city didn't maintain the roads.
Mm-hmm.
I could never understand until I went out there with the then Public Works Director was Salem, and wonderful guy.
Okay.
He's a wonderful guy. And he explained to me, well, these are dirt roads because they're private. And if you want them public, then it used to be certain percentage of people would have to donate the right-of-way and the road. And it seemed like everybody would want to do it except for maybe just the number of people that kept it from happening.
Exactly,
you know?
Right.
And then if you get all the signatures, then where's the money come from, you know? And there's some private roads actually not far behind my insurance office, off of St. Augustine Road. And I'm private is what it is.
Are they unpaved though, or
they're not paved.
They're not paved, okay.
I don't get any complaints about it. Mm-hmm. I think folks over there, you know,
they're content to have things the way
they are. Yeah, some are content, some are not, but they're more concerned about some of the crime issues that, you know, they're surrounded by. Mm-hmm.
I just think it makes people who aren't familiar with the community think that, oh, people back here don't care. And when especially someone who doesn't intend to do right, or they think that, okay, well, this is a place where we could possibly set up shop. So I think those environmental factors are important, like the lighting and whether there are dilapidated and abandoned and lawns that need to be mowed and homes that are in disrepair.
Oh, yeah.
So we're always in contact with code enforcement and public works to get those problems solved.
Code enforcement is a tough job, and the code enforcement officers, man, I take my hats off to them. They have got a tough job.
I agree. Because at CPAC, we can be really, really hard. Yeah. Wait for that code enforcement officer to step up.
I know.
So in addition to crime, the west side and off of 103rd in particular, or specifically, they are in need of a community center. They don't have one. The nearest community center is the, I always want to say Marla Gibbs, but it's the Mary Gibbs Center, community center that's
I'm
off
sorry.
Of.
What's the area again? I was just finishing
which one?
Up on the
Ken
other.
Drive. Ken
Drive.
Ken Road. I always want to say drive. I want to make that road a drive so bad, but it's a road.
We're changing it to drive because it's easier for me. Ken Drive. And that area needs a senior center?
No. This area I'm talking about now is just the west side in general. Uh-huh. And when I say west side, that's between Ken Road and Temequana or Ortega, the Ortega Bridge. They don't have a community. So there's a park, and the park does not have a center. The park is associated with an elementary school. The closest community center is the Mary Gibbs Center.
Okay, so you need a community center is what you need, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to tell you, those are so, I don't need to tell you this, but they're so valuable. We got one in San Marco from a lady who was very wealthy and didn't have any kids, and her name was, last name was Bayless. And so in her
The one that's associated with the library.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
We did that when I was the district councilman there, and suddenly it turned. I mean, we had a lot of meetings there, so it's a polling place now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then there's a park behind it,
in my church, they've had several meetings there too, several events.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Cool. So you need a community center, which can be, that has so many different functions that can be held there.
And when I say, not just a center, but they need a gymnasium. The different athletic programs, they are meeting at a park that is on the outside of, I think they call it West Side Middle now.
Okay.
West Side Middle. And they have to practice basketball outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with the rainy season like now, that's impossible to do.
But what is it? Is it a certain school or?
No, it's teams? Just the athletic teams, not Duval County Public Schools, just like, I don't want to say,
I don't know,
like
community.
Pop Warner.
Yeah, Pop Warner.
And then
Warner,
is it AAU for basketball and volleyball too? So they don't.
Okay.
We need a gym. We need a legend center.
A gym.
Yeah, like a legend
and
center.
And you know that ties right back into you know, if you get the younger people a place, you know, to do stuff, it helps.
With solving that issue of crime, yeah.
In
some types of crime.
And so in Lakewood, a long, long time ago, there was one basketball court.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all been there a long time. You had
off of university?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right there. That's
where the Steinmart was, yes.
What's that?
Where the Steinmart was.
Yeah. Yes, my wife's familiar with that school.
Yes, and I miss Steinmart tremendously.
I still have Steinmart stuff. But back then I was in my 30s, so I could play basketball with them.
Mm-hmm.
And but my team never seemed to get in to play much because we didn't win that many. It's like the winner stays on
of
the
course,
court, you know.
Of course.
Waits for the challengers, and if you lose, and you're back on the
right.
So I called the district council person. I was at large at that time. I called the district council person. Said, you may want to put in another basketball court because there's a lot of young people that are just sitting on the sidelines, and you know, and they may not get in again. So he did, and I'm telling you, both those courts, I think even to now, they are used, and they are used late at night.
Mm-hmm.
Better to have those kids there late at night
exactly
than some other places.
Exactly.
And so
we don't have that. I think one of the issues is that many of the community centers, specifically in District 9 for some reason, have been leased out to, or I should just say just leased to specific programs.
Mm-hmm.
And those programs really don't pull the kids from the neighborhood into the community center. They're, you know, they're servicing kids, but they're from all over.
That's a big need. I think that's one of your biggest needs right there. Have you, I'm sure you have spoken to Daryl Joseph.
I will be. I have spoken with him. And we have one that's in some current legislation that's coming up. In fact, you saw it in the presentation that West Elementary is going to become a community center
for the
Robinson's Addition community. So that's one that's coming up, which we're really excited about.
What, that's the West?
That's in...
What's
that's off of Commonwealth.
Yeah.
That's not West Side. That's like more like Northwest.
Okay.
Or the old West Side.
So you have a community center there.
Mm-hmm.
Is it effective?
No. We're it is not there yet. The building's there, but it's coming.
Okay.
Right.
What year is it in the CIP? Do you know?
It's in current legislation.
Oh, good.
Okay. So besides the community centers and the parks, the other thing that I think is an issue is the language for the current, and not the people, but the Planning Commission itself. I think that's an issue. It used to be that the persons who were appointed to the Planning Commission, they came from the school board districts. And so the legislation needs to be changed so that you actually have people who are chosen who are actually from those areas.
I forgot how many planning commissioners are there. Seven, or
I want to say that there are seven, and then there's like an alternate or something. My
so
mind is thinking nine too, but I think there are seven.
Yeah, if they're used off council districts like school board, then you know one school board district basically is two council districts that adjoin each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's how they do planning commission or not. Sounds like it might be some variation of that. There's good people on the planning commission.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'd like them to take a little harder look at, you know, what they recommend.
Mm-hmm.
Because their recommendation carries weight with a lot of council
it
members.
Does.
But I've had enough experience to know that I'm not sure why they recommended the way they did.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I said, not so much the people that's there, but the once again the policy regarding
mm-hmm.
how those commissioners are chosen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that needs to be analyzed, and it needs to be...
They're chosen.
Needs to be edited.
Okay.
I think they're all chosen by the mayor, but they're mm-hmm. approved by city council.
That's true there.
And I know some commissions are like, you have a percentage from city council and a percentage from the mayor's office, but I don't think that's how the planning commission goes.
Planning commission's all by the mayor.
And then they're approved by us.
I don't know how they're picked geographically, but I'd be interested to know how they're picked geographically.
Mm-hmm.
If you dig into that issue, I'd be interested, you know, if you are going to meet with somebody, and if it, you know, works and it can be noticed meeting, and invite me, I'd be interested to come.
Yeah.
I think they're kind of like a frontline review board in a mm-hmm. way, because what they, you know, sign off on eventually comes to us.
Mm-hmm.
And
Most things. With the exception of, you know, certain like waivers of liquor distance and exceptions, you know, we have that legislation that's before us. But that used to always come to us. Oh,
and then
they changed
the law.
Okay. Yeah, and so.
Which is why I support what Council President is doing with this current legislation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I'd be interested to look into that with you.
Yeah,
they're kind of like the first line of review,
mm-hmm.
and of course they're leaning on the planning department as well.
Right.
But I just know over the years, people felt like if the planning commission supported it, then the council needs to support it. Well, and that's not true.
Exactly, because you have to.
It's not saying anything bad about planning commission.
Yeah, that's why I said it's not personal. It's just looking at the legislation, and then being a person who has before city council, who's been to many planning commissions, listening to what they base their decisions on.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there are different criteria depending upon what type of change the person or what the applicant desires, but it has to always be on the criteria.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be on just one aspect,
mm-hmm.
and it has to go according to what the code says. And so, in most cases, their decisions are based on the property owner has a property owner rights.
Mm-hmm.
And does property owner rights usurp good common sense? You know, and
well, I will tell you this.
In too many cases,
yeah,
too many critical cases, property owner's rights have usurped just good common sense and criteria.
And people will pound the fist about, this is my property and I have property rights.
Mm-hmm.
But I just got to tell you, I've had more rezonings where people, you know, talked about was my right, my property, and I get that.
Mm-hmm.
I got a property too,
mm-hmm.
Several properties. And so, but I have property rights. So if you abuse your property rights, then it can encroach on my property rights.
Right.
And it's a two-way street.
Mm-hmm. And that's where that criteria has to be referred to. So, and just like I said, with my experience, I just, mm-hmm. that criteria is typically ignored.
Yeah, and I felt your pain on that one of the early council meetings we had. Well, by the way, anybody see where this was actually a recommended denial by the planning department? And the other thing on the zonings, and this was my rule of thumb when I was a district council person. It's still my rule of thumb now, but
mm-hmm.
it's different at large than district. Although I still try to vote my convictions, but I also try to listen to the district council person,
mm-hmm.
and try to you know, weigh those things out. But when I was a district councilman, I can honestly say everybody, and I had the southeast part of the county, and I had more rezonings than any other district. I mean, I had more rezoning issues, tough ones.
Mm-hmm.
And my rule of thumb was, look, I want to help you, I want to help you be successful in your rezoning, but you got to help the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever you bring and whatever you propose, don't just plan to go there and then move to your next rezoning.
Mm-hmm.
Every rezoning should add value to the surrounding neighborhood,
right,
and community. And that's a key that I see left out a lot in times of so I always made sure that if a big zoning was going on in my district, that the developers knew how's it going to help the neighborhood or neighborhoods around it.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I was able to, when they knew I wasn't against them, but I wanted to make sure their zoning did not detract from the value,
right,
but added value,
mm-hmm,
then I think everybody got their zoning except for one person in my district, and that was a friend of mine. And it really was tough,
mm-hmm,
but she's a very sweet lady, and she knew the issue, what the issue was, but she was going to try for it, and we're still great friends to this day. But, you know, that's, you know, and I, everything is a little different now than it was back then,
mm-hmm,
but I still think council members can work with both parties. So I try to bring everybody together,
mm-hmm,
and just keep working it until we brought a compromise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one thing I would say is a lot of times people will say, "Oh, this is a compromise that the neighborhood's done, that the business has done." Well, a compromise I learned a long time ago when watching To Kill a Mockingbird.
Mm-hmm.
Atticus Finch was talking,
right,
to Scout.
Right.
Okay. A compromise is an agreement reached by mutual consent.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody might call something a compromise, but it's a compromise in their eyes, but it's not in the other folks'
right,
eyes.
Right, right.
You know. I would love to work with you on that new community center. That'd be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Anything I could do to help on that,
mm-hmm,
I would love to. I think that could be one of several cornerstone projects that you could get through,
yes,
this next 4 years. Drainage?
Always. Trying to think if I have an area where we have major projects that are going on, like Lakeshore Boulevard. There should be finishing that project soon. Somewhere else. I can think of little pockets of places, but right, mm-hmm, offhand, not somewhere where there's a tremendous need other than Lakeshore. And just like I said, that's wrapping up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's always something that.
What are they
that
doing
rises
in Lakeshore?
Along Lakeshore Boulevard, there are. Not we have a combination of outfall ditches and I can't remember the other name, like there's outfall ditches are natural ditches,
mm-hmm,
they are natural runs,
mm-hmm,
and then you have the other kind of ditches that are man-made basically to help
the outfall
that help to drain the water from neighborhoods, and that's man-made. So,
mm-hmm,
the ones that are along Lakeshore Boulevard, they are putting in the pipe so it drains not just through the ditches, because the ditches fill quickly, so that they're putting in the pipes. And we also have a new development that's being that's in the process of being under construction in that area too.
Mm-hmm.
So they're basically fixing a problem, because,
mm-hmm,
it used to be terrible back there.
Mm-hmm.
I know for sure. So that's the project that's happening now.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, like I said, I cannot think of one that immediately comes to mind. The other thing that I think on a citywide level is landfill.
Mm-hmm.
The funding in regards to landfill. Because I know that was an issue back in, was that 2020? And I don't know if that problem has been solved. Like
Which one are you talking?
Like the landfill that's out 301.
Mm-hmm.
I know that it was like, almost, I don't want to say at capacity,
yeah.
But we need to find another space.
Well, they got, I was concerned about that too.
And funding too.
And I was in the middle of that.
I know.
Okay. And you had folks over in Baldwin, they were trying to put one in over there.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were some folks trying to put one in Trail Ridge, and that was, you know, and Warren Jones and I both were, you know, in the middle of that. And they went to the Trail Ridge. And I always wondered, because back then I had no gray hair, you know, I was much younger, but I was thinking, one day we might need more landfill space. But
right.
So I think that's a question we need to ask. Last I talked to somebody, they said there was still enough land out there for another 30
mm-hmm.
years.
Okay.
But I have learned 30 years goes by.
Especially if we're not recycling like we should.
And
because
if you fill
the
up landfill,
portion is so important to me to being able to increase the lifetime of that landfill.
Absolutely. It's tough to find a landfill. You think you found the right place for a landfill, you don't think there's many people that live there,
mm-hmm.
you'd be surprised how many people come out of
right.
those neighborhoods to oppose it.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough.
And the funding too, because I know it was borrowing from the, I'm trying to recall, borrowing from the general fund when it has X fund, and it's like borrowing from the general fund, which is in conflict with the beaches or something that has to do with the beaches
yeah,
area, right?
So that's a big issue. I mean, to me, that one's like the elephant in the room that nobody
mm-hmm.
wants to talk about.
I think that's something that
we
should tackle as a council.
We tried to do something a few years ago
yeah.
when I chaired finance. I thought I had the support, and suddenly it evaporated.
Mm-hmm.
But the cost of the service
mm-hmm.
to pick up garbage and recycling and everything else,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what the cost actually is now, but let's say it's $20 per unit, and we're only charging maybe $13.
Mm-hmm.
And when the garbage fee was first put in, it was put in by John Payton.
Right.
And the reason that, and he did a stormwater fee, John Payton, when he was mayor, I mean, the economy was collapsing on
him. Right, right.
And he had to, and I thought he did a very good job of addressing that. It was hard, but he took his case to the people. And he decided, and at that time we had a governor who promised to lower property taxes
mm-hmm.
In the community. And he can, or she,
mm-hmm.
can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing governors can't do is they can't make a community lower a fee.
Okay.
So what he did was he said, let's come up with different revenue streams instead of just relying on the general fund
right.
and ad valorem taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the garbage fee. And that garbage fee had an escalator on it to try to keep up with the rising cost.
Right.
And I think in 2016, whoever was on the council at that point, they took the escalator off.
Okay.
They said it was a tax increase.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody gets scared of tax increase.
Right.
I don't.
Yeah.
I get accused of, you know, never seeing a tax I don't love. Well, I love Jacksonville, and I know it takes investing money
right,
in this
right.
city to make it better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in raising taxes just to balance the budget, but our fee is so behind. So we have to borrow money from
mm-hmm.
the, a few years ago when I was finance committee chairman, the loan was like $13 million. Now, because it hasn't been addressed, it's $40 million. So
wow.
that fee has to be increased not only to the cost of the service, but also to a cost of repaying that
mm-hmm.
loan. So that makes the fee really artificially high, because we're having to pay back for dollars that we should have been charging 4 years before.
Right.
And so, and there's a lot of people that during that garbage crisis we had, I'm not sure if you were
I was
on
there.
Council. You were there?
No, I wasn't on council, but I was like CPAC, and I went to the meeting that was out off of Chaffee Road.
Okay. Well, I had two public meetings
mm-hmm.
Because the West Side in Arlington, from what I was told by city department were the two areas being affected the toughest. And so I had two public town meetings on that, and at both of them, there were at least two, three people that came up to the mic and said, listen, if you're not charging what you should be charging that. So just increase the fee.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, what a joy to be comprehended, you know? And this city's going to have to, it's going to have to tackle that.
Yeah.
And I did my best. I wound up short. But the problem is the reason it has to be a loan is because the beaches all have a garbage fee, and they pay ad valorem taxes.
Yeah.
So if we did away with our fee and just said, we're going to let the ad valorem taxes pay for it, then what happens is they're saying, oh, no, because that's against the interlocal agreement.
Right.
You know, y'all pay your garbage, we pay ours. We're not going to pay yours, too.
Right.
That's the reason.
So you're at 5 minutes?
5 minutes?
Yeah, we have a hard stop at 10:45.
Doggone.
Also, I'm letting you do have one speaker card from Mr. Mooney.
Really?
Surprise, surprise, that all the people in here know.
Well, John, why don't we maybe do this? I want you to have your time. If I go past 10:45, does that mean we're doing something wrong?
No, sir, but you do have you have an 11 o'clock.
Right, okay. We're going to have another meeting. So, let me just wrap up with this.
Okay.
I am an at-large council person. I want to help you any way I can, and I do understand how some problems come about in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes my that background in the history of something might help you.
Okay.
And I want to be able to help you. I don't want to be like a Mr. Know-it-all. But I do.
I like know-it-alls.
Well, you know, I just you want to contribute what you know has happened, but then, you know, sometimes people don't want to listen to it. They just roll their eyes. Ah, he's just talking about the good old days. Well, you know, there were some good old days.
Yeah, but you know, background is important. History is important because it helps to understand how did we get to this point, and so I think it's important.
We'll meet again, and thanks for meeting with me. I appreciate
it.
And we're going to have public comment. You stick around if you want to, council member, and Mr. Nooney.
I want to hear what
my
Mr.
claim
Nooney
to fame is John Nooney began speaking to the council when I was council president, I think.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll make it real quick. Yes.
Okay.
You know, the first time I ever attended a council meeting was when Matt was the council president. And prior to that, I always remember that Woody Cooper guy. And, you know, but anyway, you know, just to the
name
the
and address,
point.
I guess you got it. I guess we got to get your name and address.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
John Nooney, 8356 Bascom Road, Jacksonville,
okay.
Florida, 32216, City Council District 4. You know, but, well, anyway, no, the biggest reason I wanted to come here was because you are currently serving on the Waterways Commission. And, you know, and let me just say, you know, for the entire city, you know, when people say to me we're getting more public access, I tell them we're getting crushed. I don't think I've seen it any worse than it has been right now, and I really don't see it getting any better. Let me just say, you know, I'm on Pottsburg Creek. You know, also, too, with resiliency, you know, that's citywide. You know, I think it's a joke. You know, there's going to be, you know, and I'm participating on the resiliency committee. So, you know, I'll be overseeing, or at least my understanding is to be tasked with the allocation of where these different projects are going to be going. And let me just say, too, with Pottsburg Creek, you know, I'm next to a FEMA house that should have already been demolished, reverted back to nature. And, you know, citywide, you know, and again, with our house, and be self-serving, call it whatever you want. But, you know, the missus and I, we've got Category 1 wetlands next to a FEMA. It could be a park. So, you know, Ken Amaro is up next. You know, and he's going to be taking over for Joyce Morgan. There's only one public access point in that entire waterway, and that's the Beach Boulevard boat ramp. That's it. Everything else is private. So, I'm attending these because it is the 19 members of the Jacksonville City Council that you have the legislative power, to pick and choose and do whatever you really want to do. But I'll finish with this. There are over 2,500 billionaires in the world. Call it the Nooney Project. But we just need one. And you'd be next to a FEMA house. And again, resiliency. Next month, you're going to be hearing all this happy stuff. And, I'm just still not feeling it, especially with the tree hugger gang and all that stuff. So anyway, I wanted to come here primarily because you were still on waterways and, the committee assignments have not been made yet. And at least I found that out today. So waterways, our river, this city, tourism, all that stuff, and downtown too. I really want to be one of the biggest cheerleaders. And if you give me just this, I've been banned on the St. John's River Keeper Facebook page. These Facebook groups are so unbelievably powerful. With thousands, what to do in Jacksonville? There's 40,000 members. I posted something on, just kayaking downtown. Still waiting. That's like pending. So in other words, I'm trying to share with you that we are a worldwide international market, and we're getting crushed with our access.
With our lack of access?
You better believe it. Morning, noon, and night.
And when you say access, you're talking about any access from a kayak launch to a place where people could go and fish off a dock or stroll along the river or put a boat in. That type of thing. That's what you're talking about.
Right. You have passive and active recreational access. The passive, it's everywhere. You look at the river, but you don't engage in the river.
One thing that I did, I don't know if you guys were close to the river in your district. I think you do. But if not, pond or lake or whatever. But you'd be proud of this, John. In that council I was on back when you first started coming, there were two roads in San Marco that were very old, LaSalle Street and Cedar. And they dead-ended into the river, at the river. And it was like a place for people to tires, concrete blocks. It was a dumping site. And I said, what a pocket park opportunity. Mm-hmm. And then we have people that love to fish along the river in that place. So we did a little pocket park, and one of them we named after somebody who was very deserving, and we set aside a section where people could fish, and then there's a section where people could just read a book, by the river, and I think they get pretty well used, you make good points, John, and I appreciate you coming up, and I think there's a lot of places that I need to look at harder to find access.
Well, to your point, pocket parks, pocket piers, waterfront public access, street ends.
On River Road now.
but that's just it. And I'll tell you, and it wasn't just my idea. The scenario where we are on a dead end, and it would be, immediate and direct public access, to that waterway. And again, Ken Amaro's up next, and Ken.
just keep beating the drum, John.
All right. Well, thank you for listening, and thank you for taking public comment.
Of course. Always good to see you.
All right.
Okay. Councilwoman Clark Murray. By the way, enjoyed meeting your dad. Now I know where you got your name from. he is a gentleman. I really enjoyed it. Thanks for sharing with me. I really appreciate it, taking the time. Absolutely. Well, this is my This is my last, my four more. This is my last go-round, and I want to make it count. So the more I can help district council members with their things, the more I can look back and say, well, my service was worthwhile. That's what it's about. So, okay, bless you. Have a great day. This little meeting is now adjourned.